We want to see really strong data governance, management, and documentation prior to rolling out Copilot. Educate people on how to use Copilot. Build relevant content to show the people that we turn on this tool for how to use it. We'll jump right into this. You know, I think... I say this every time I talk about AI. It's on everyone's mind. It's in the news. We see it. We hear about it. And I get asked on a weekly, if not daily basis, you know, how are other businesses using AI? How do they plan to use AI? What should our strategy look like? We also see that a lot of companies have turned on Copilot. It's interesting. About 30% of the folks on this call are using Copilot in some fashion. So many have turned it on. It's easy to buy a license. It's super easy to get something started. What I'll tell you I see is it's the new shiny object. It gets used pretty heavily for a couple of weeks and then starts to slow down in its use. I'd say that there's a lot of people that don't know how to use it effectively, don't know what they don't know about what Copilot can do to help them. And, you know, most, if not all, I would venture to say, haven't really prepared for the risks. So there's a lot of confidence that Copilot is protecting our data as we're searching, but there's some other opportunities for us to better prepare and better protect our sensitive data as we use Copilot. So thinking in terms of Copilot's main uses, I want to talk about it in two different ways, and I'm going to focus more on one than the other today. And that is, there's one aspect of Copilot, and I think this is the one most people are typically thinking of, and that's the productivity side. So this is engaging Copilot through Word, through Teams, on Office.com, through the Copilot app. And this is really all about producing more output more quickly. It's streamlining our day-to-day activities. Examples that I like to use of this is, you know, an HR team that needs to write a new policy can quickly get a skeleton of that policy out of a tool like Copilot and then edit it and update it from there. I always include the code snippet part. As a reformed programmer, I think how different my life would have been if I didn't just have to Google how to do something, but I could actually ask a tool to write the code for me. And then on the automation and analysis side, so this is much more about creating flows, creating those repeatable intelligent processes that can help us run our business better. I'm not going to spend as much time on that today because that's really a phase two as we look at what do we need to do to adopt Copilot as a business. All right, so just thinking in terms of how does Copilot work and what does it do? It's important to understand that there's indexing that has to happen. And the way that Microsoft has implemented this tool, it's using a semantic search that is going through and indexing. And really what semantic search is all about from a really high level is about creating relevance and understanding between similar concepts so that when you ask Copilot for something, it doesn't just do a word for word search. It matches the intent of what you are looking for and builds those relationships much like a person would. The example I like to use is think of this as asking for food and somebody gives you an apple. They know that an apple is food, so they would provide that to you. In traditional searching, you would say, you know, where is food in my documents? And it would return to you exact matches for that. It wouldn't find the related food items that are part of that. So semantic search is really all around building that conceptual understanding of your data. So why does this matter? It's important to know that, you know, right now, Copilot is indexing, as Microsoft rolls out the semantic indexing, a number of different types of data. Your own user mailbox, of course, documents, PowerPoints, PDFs, and more types of data all of the time. This means that, you know, Copilot does not, from a risk and data exposure perspective, it doesn't give anyone access to something that they don't already have access to. But what it does is it allows someone to find maybe what they weren't supposed to access, but accidentally have the ability to see much more quickly. And so The example I'd use there is, you know, you have an HR SharePoint. Someone inadvertently is given more permissions to that than they need. The odds of them finding that and going out and trying to access it are pretty low. Asking Copilot a question that finds an inference into one of those files that's been indexed could return to them a result that you as an organization would not want them to have. That brings us to this topic of, now that we understand, you know, what is Copilot doing behind the scenes with our private data, what do we need to do to get ready for that? So data readiness is something that I think most organizations that are using Copilot today have not gone through a data readiness exercise. And it's easy to skip this step. Copilot is interesting. It's easy to implement and turn on. And we may be inadvertently exposing our company data or providing people access to data that we didn't mean to. And this goes across multiple different types of data sources. So the way we recommend starting with the Copilot exercise is to go through this data readiness process. And that's really to go through and identify what are my sources of information that I want Copilot to have access to. Review those for quality. And the reason this matters is, you know, AI is great. The semantic search is really powerful, but it can't do miracles. So if we have bad data, bad structure, inconsistencies, that is going to affect the output, the quality of that output. And then we want to enrich and enhance that data. So we want to add additional context to the most important piece of the data. Where this really matters is not so much in a Word document, but as we start to see Copilot dig more into the analytical pieces of data, as Copilot's capabilities expand into Excel documents, into other types of systems, it's going to be very important that we create the right kinds of metadata that allow Copilot to make those inferences in data relationships. And then lastly, we have to protect and secure our data. And this, by the way, doesn't just apply to Copilot. It's really important that we start to put controls in place early on that protect our data from being sent out through an AI tool into an area where we may not have control over it. So what does this data collection process look like? It's really important that we start with really reliable cloud services. So we want to choose where those are stored. And as much as we can consolidate that as an organization, it's really critical. So we certainly work with organizations that have data in multiple cloud services. As much as possible, try to standardize on SharePoint and OneDrive. Or if you're a Google shop, stick with the Google Docs structure. Don't introduce SharePoint, OneDrive, Google Docs, and Dropbox. We see that, and what that is that's a recipe for a loss of control of data. And create this inventory. It's important that we start to reduce the duplication of data, that we put it in a structure and create a map of where our data lives so that we have a strong handle on that. And understanding where our data lives, it moves us into the next phase of what we would recommend to be Copilot ready. We have no shortage of data sources. And, you know, as business decision makers and those responsible for our company's data and information technology, it's really important that we start to think about this differently than we've thought about it in the past. Our data no longer lives behind a firewall. It lives in different SaaS applications. It lives in these different sources of cloud storage. It is a very broad set of data. And that means that the opportunity for us to lose or compromise that data is greatly increased. And that's why we would recommend implementing a DLP or data loss prevention system as part of a Copilot rollout. So we've taken our data, we understand where it is, we've documented that, we have a good handle on, we don't have a lot of duplication of data. We want to start this process that says we want to put some governance around our data. And, you know, on one of the slides earlier, there was a little note that said, you know, Copilot will honor types of labels, sensitivity labels on data. And I think this is a really important concept for us to think about when we deploy a solution like Copilot that enables rapid search and collection of data and presentation to users very quickly. We need to get a governance and data loss prevention plan in place. And so what DLP is it is the process of safeguarding the sensitive data against unauthorized access, but more so breaches. And when we think of breaches, it's where is this data going? I think if we were to have a poll that said, you know, how confident are you today that no data left your organization that shouldn't have, my guess is that there wouldn't be super high confidence. So it also protects against, you know, unintended deletion. Now notice it doesn't say unintentional, but it is protecting us from the loss of data that may contain confidential information. And then it also helps us as we need to comply with privacy and security regulations. And there are certainly more of those on the way. So this is a great chance to talk about a solution that ties right into how Copilot works, and that's Purview. This is Microsoft 365's DLP solution. It's actively being updated and released, including the AI Hub for Microsoft Purview. And what the AI Hub does is it not only tracks the usage of AI from a Copilot perspective, but it has plugins that allow you to control and monitor AI usage in other third-party tools. And we'll talk more about that. So this is around a governance service. And the natural next step in us moving our data to the cloud and to these multiple sources is that we can use a tool like this to discover, catalog, map, and then manage and identify the risks over time. So a couple of these examples are the use of encryption and sensitivity labeling. These sensitivity labels are really valuable to classify information and have a sensitivity level. This requires some work as an organization to identify what are those sensitivity levels, what applies to those. But what's great about the AI Hub as part of Purview is that it takes some of the manual work that went into DLP solutions in the past out of the hands of the administrator. And so it's able to start to identify on its own the PII, the types of information that we want to make sure that we protect as an organization. So moving on to the next piece of this, which is really around how do we use a tool like DLP to ensure compliance. We can put a compliance framework in place through Purview that helps enforce the use of that throughout the journey along kind of this data discovery, mapping, and protection path. So to summarize what we're at today, we want to see really strong data governance, management, and documentation prior to rolling out Copilot. So what do we need to do to monitor and then ultimately train our teams around, you know, awareness of the data implications here as well as how to use these AI tools? So first, you know, usage monitoring and system logs, right? This sounds like we're talking about the SIEM platform of, you know, 5-10 years ago for those of you in the security space. But this is a much different process today. We don't have a central location where we can monitor the exfiltration of our data from. It could happen from anywhere from on a mobile device to a third-party application that we might not even be aware that our team is using. And so leveraging those tools, I mentioned AI Hub is a great example that has browser plugins and other capabilities to really start to watch the movement of our data from our various systems and start to collect profiling and understanding around where is that data going? Because, you know, the approach that we don't want to take as a business is Corsica, and I think most of our clients and most of you are probably the same way. We don't want to just turn off these productivity tools. We want to equip people to be able to use them, but to still be able to protect our organizations. And so starting to roll out this plan of data understanding, data monitoring, and then the adoption of Copilot and other AI tools is a really important part of that. And then some proper training. So here's one of the biggest gaps that I see in Copilot usage is a lack of understanding of what is Copilot capable of and where should I spend my time using it. It's fun to go have it write some poetry. Those are the things that I think people like showing off. What can AI do? But ultimately, we want to use this as a multiplier in our productivity. And so what are the right places to use that? And so having proper training that helps people use Copilot responsibly, I feel like that's kind of like the IT, safe answer. But ultimately, what we want to see is we want to see our companies make more money because we're using AI really well. And when I hear a business decision maker or an executive ask me, how should we be using AI? That's the easy answer. It should be a productivity multiplier. And if it isn't, then we haven't properly trained our teams to be able to use it. And so what we don't see a lot of is the interactive training of let me show you how to use Copilot effectively in your role as a finance leader or in your role as a customer service advisor or on the front lines. And so we really encourage organizations take the time to build the training, to have the training and show people what this is really capable of. And then also show them what are those pitfalls that they could run into. Where are the places not to go? And where should you not use AI in terms of areas when it comes to matters of legal advice, of human resources? There are areas that we know we don't want departments to use AI. So this gets into developing these best practices. All organizations today should have an internal policy around the use of generative AI tools. If you don't have one, we can certainly give you a AI generated template to start with. Just kidding. We have real documents we can help you leverage to get these in place. And these really hit two different avenues. One is what's our acceptable use of AI tools within our organization? How does it fit into our values and our culture? The second piece is where are we using AI that touches our customers? And where should we disclose that? So those are the two kind of policy related items that we typically recommend. Educate people on how to use Copilot. I had a whole slide on it and then I brought it up again because it's just so important that we build relevant content to show the people that we turn on this tool for how to use it. And then we need a process. So Copilot is one piece. Today's mostly about Copilot. But there has to be a process for approving, implementing, and then monitoring these tools. Not just AI tools, but all of these SaaS applications. If we've gone to the trouble to inventory to understand, now we need to put some controls in place so that we can keep up that documentation. Documentation is only as good as our ability to maintain it. And so we need to have that as part of the governance around our organization. And then we need our executive teams to be talking about these things at the executive and board level. This is not an IT issue. Protecting our data, proper use of AI, and how do we responsibly use these tools going forward is a discussion that should be happening across the organization. It needs to be built into part of the culture of who we are. And when someone asks, what are the ways that we should use AI, you've got to get into the culture of the business. Where are the values of the business that require human interaction? Where can we automate things or use AI? What are the expectations? I mentioned this transparency around, those two parts. I'll just say that one again too, because I think it's really important. Most people expect, while there's no legal requirement today, we expect there will be legal requirements to provide transparency around AI usage. So best to start with that. If you're using it in your organization today, especially where it touches folks outside the company, but even inside, we need to make sure that we're disclosing that. So let's review. Document and secure our data first. Gain an understanding of what we want to do with conversational AI, the productive side. Start there. We haven't even turned on a Copilot license yet. If you want to do that in a limited fashion for folks to use, I think that's okay. But organization-wide, we have to be thinking about how are we going to deploy this more broadly. And that requires us to take these couple of steps first. This gets to then, I'm ready. What do I start to do? The licensing of Copilots first, integrating Copilot into your workflow and how people work. This is something that we have consistently seen needs help. People tend to get a tool like Copilot and they kind of poke at it for a while, but they don't necessarily integrate it into the way they operate. If we want to fully leverage AI, we have to build it into the workflow for each department. And as technology leaders or stakeholders, we need to ensure that these tools that we're deploying are being fully leveraged and utilized by our teams. And then you have to provide feedback. This piece, I think we're all used to only providing mostly negative feedback in general when we interact with a tool or a third party. It's really important that we provide the feedback through the mechanisms built into AI. It learns from those interactions.